Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this call. My name is Leslie Dach. I'm the chair of Protect Our Care. I also have the honor to serve as senior counselor to the secretary of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services during the last 2 years of the Obama administration, and during that time was the HHS Global Ebola Coordinator for the outbreak in West Africa and the preparation here at home. Before I introduce our two speakers, I want to say a quick word of introduction. Yesterday, the United States became the first nation to report over 1 million coronavirus cases. And unfortunately, more Americans have gotten sick, more will have died, and more will have lost their jobs because President Trump has mismanaged the coronavirus crisis. From the very beginning, he ignored the warnings from his own advisors and his own intelligence briefings, downplayed the threat of the virus, refused to listen to the experts, and put his political interests above the interests of the American people. And nowhere has this been more true than his horrendous mismanagement of our ability to test and therefore our ability to protect our people from this virus. It's been 54 days since President Trump promised that every American who wanted a test could get a test. And this testing failure is both a public health tragedy, but it also stands in the way of reopening our economy as quickly as the American people would like, or in a way that they demand keeps us safe. And the so-called testing blueprint the president announced earlier this week was really a fictional rewrite of history and still fails to do the job Americans need. Our first speaker said it was, quote, nothing new and will accomplish nothing new, end quote. And yesterday, an onslaught of experts echoed that criticism. And so I'd like now to introduce our first speaker, Senator Patty Murray, the ranking member of the Senate Health Committee and the Senate Assistant Democratic Leader. Senator has also served as chair of the Veterans Affairs Committee, another constituency that's been hurt by this failed response, and the Senate Budget Committee. On the issue of health care, she's been a tireless fighter, both for her constituents and for America as a whole. As we know, our home state of Washington bore the brunt of the coronavirus at the beginning of this crisis, and she was an incredibly powerful and empathetic voice for patients, families, frontline healthcare workers, and local officials who were desperately trying to do the right thing with little or no help from the White House. And with that, it's an honor to turn this call over to Senator Murray.
Well, Leslie, thank you so much. You know, from the start of this crisis, families in my home state of Washington have been asking, where are the tests? And we know now, without a doubt, the Trump administration's early testing delays and missteps cost us dearly in time and lives. So it is entirely inexcusable that now, 2 months later, we are still asking, where are the tests? In fact, unbelievably, we are still asking, where is the plan to increase testing? Because we know that until testing is fast, free, and everywhere, we cannot safely reopen our country, and right now, we're nowhere close. But the so-called testing blueprint President Trump unveiled this week fails by every measure of what we need here. No specific numeric goals, no time frame, no ideas to fix our broken supply chain, and no details whatsoever on expanding lab capacity or activating needed manufacturing capacity. So in short, it does nothing new. It will accomplish nothing new. Instead, it attempts to leave states to tackle problems that are obviously federal responsibilities. As communities across the country look to the federal government to do more, President Trump is making it clear he couldn't care less. We are not going to let him off the hook. The legislation Congress passed last week included a provision I secured requiring the Trump administration to provide a national plan to increase testing within 30 days. We have put President Trump on the clock, and now we're putting him on notice. I'm going to be warning President Trump against cutting corners and detailing what a serious plan looks like. Democrats are going to make it crystal clear this plan must spell out our goals on tests per day, tests per week for both diagnostic and serological testing. It needs to project what supplies will be required in what number and how to manage the supply chain to secure them. It needs to make sure we have the personnel and lab capacity to run these tests. And the administration's plan needs to map out how it will distribute and administer these tests nationwide. particularly in medically underserved communities and among high-risk populations, how it will collaborate with partners to set up community testing sites, and how it will enforce the laws we have previously passed to make sure testing is provided at no cost. The plan needs to advise states on expanding testing guidelines to include the asymptomatic. It needs to outline how we rapidly recruit and train the workforce we will need to expand contact tracing and meet key public health needs. And for all of this, it needs to lay out a specific timeline and funding needs. That's the kind of clear, aggressive national strategic plan to dramatically ramp up testing Congress has demanded and our country needs to move forward. So I'm going to keep the pressure on President Trump to provide a detailed plan and to implement it like people expect the President of the United States of America and his team to do. So thank you all for being on this call, and Leslie, thanks for putting it together.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you for your leadership. It's sad that the Congress needs to put in legislation what should really just be the administration's job, but thank God you're going to cause that to happen. Our next speaker is Dr. Howard Foreman. He's a professor of public health, management, and economics at Yale University. He's also a physician. Professor Foreman has been a vocal advocate for higher rates of testing for COVID-19, arguing for a special enrollment period so the uninsured could obtain affordable quality health coverage through the ACA. He previously also worked in the Senate as a health policy fellow, and he's actively and personally involved in patient care. Dr. Foreman, thanks for joining us today. The floor is yours.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Leslie, and thank you, Senator Murray. I just want to start out by saying that from the very beginning of this outbreak in the United States, if we would have had access to testing, we would have been able to direct resources. We would have been able to do a better job with isolation, containment, and we had an opportunity, but we missed it, to actually stop this in its tracks in the way that many other nations seemingly were able to do. That was for lack of a very modest amount of testing, perhaps on par with what ultimately turned out to be the case in places like South Korea and Taiwan and so on. We're now at a point where we have effectively the largest outbreak in the world, and we will, you know, certainly continue to grow numbers. And now we need massive numbers of tests, and we have been so far behind throughout this entire process that even other nations that we might not want to think are our peers, like Italy and Spain, but have been more than our peers in terms of testing. They've been testing at rates that are 50%, 100% higher than what we do right now, and we need to go vastly higher than that. We need to be in the levels of about 1 to 3 million tests a day at a minimum. There are scholars, including the Nobel laureate, Professor Romer, who have suggested that if we could do 30 million tests a day, we would be able to really tamp this down and stop it in its tracks. And I think that what people need to understand about testing is this is not about diagnosing patients so that we can treat them differently. This is about stopping the outbreak and reducing the reproduction number, reducing the continued spread of this virus, because the one thing that everybody wants to see happen is that our economy can be opened up. And anything you do to relax social distancing or lockdown procedures at this point in order to open up the economy will naturally increase the spread of this virus, increase the number of cases, increase the number of deaths, unless you do something else that can tamp it down. And short of a vaccine at this point, the only thing available to us that we know to be effective and have seen throughout the world as effective is testing in massive numbers, ultimately contact tracing, and effective isolation of people who are identified. And again, for those that misunderstand the idea about what testing is for, it's not just about finding people who present with symptoms, but certainly we should be able to test everybody with symptoms, in particular our frontline workers, whether it's the first responders or our healthcare workers, who to this day are not able to get timely tests when they need them. But it's not just testing people with symptoms. It's also identifying areas where there are outbreaks so that you can identify pre-symptomatic and asymptomatic individuals and isolate them before they continue to spread in a super spreader manner, which is what we've seen in so many areas, before they devastate our elderly living in congregate housing and nursing homes, before they devastate the communities of color and lower-income individuals throughout the world, throughout the country, who are being exposed at very high rates, partly because they are part of our service economy and are continuing to work through this time. And so if we have the use of massive numbers of tests and the people in order to implement both contact tracing and isolation, we can tamp this down, we can have an open economy. And at this point, this is the single biggest barrier to us being able to do that. And I'll stop there and take questions.
Thank you, Dr. Foreman. You've been such a strong voice for science and public health-based approaches just at the time when the country needs that, particularly since we don't see it out of our leaders in the White House. I want to turn it over next to Zach Bacanus, who's the Executive Director of Protect Our Care's Coronavirus War Room. Zach, in the month or so that he has put himself into this role, has helped galvanize and organize healthcare and social justice groups across the country as they work to educate the public and pressure the administration to do the right thing for this country. Zach?
Thank you so much, Leslie, and thank you to Senator Murray and Dr. Foreman for your incredible leadership. I want to start off by pointing to something that senior Trump administration official Jared Kushner said this morning during an interview on Fox and Friends. He said, quote, "The federal government rose to the challenge, and this is a great success story," unquote. So let's set aside how offensive and tone deaf it is to call something a great success story when yesterday the United States became the first nation to reach 1 million infections, or the fact that there are 58,000 Americans who have lost their lives, more people than during the Vietnam War, or that at least 26 million people are out of work, and the economy shrank by 4.8% in the first quarter. Let's set aside how tone deaf that is. But let's talk about how this isn't a, quote, great success story, unquote, even by the standards that the Trump administration set for itself, especially in regards to testing. Donald Trump and his administration made a huge number of promises on testing. You know, one of the ones that people remember most is this big press conference he had with big box stores like Walmart and Target, and they made a big deal about how they were going to be testing sites in parking lots across the country. These have simply not materialized in any great number. And as Leslie mentioned, I think the most infamous one is on March 6th when Donald Trump said, unquote, "anybody who wants a test can get a test," unquote. That wasn't true when Donald Trump said it. It's not true today. And as Senator Murray has laid out, it's not going to be true even if Donald Trump makes good on his so-called blueprint for testing that he unveiled on Monday. And the thing is, Donald Trump is not fooling anybody. The American people understand the failure of this administration to make good on its promises when it comes to testing. There's a new Marist NPR poll that came out today that shows that families overwhelmingly oppose reopening the country until Donald Trump does his job on testing. They say without testing, 65% say it's a bad idea to return to work. 80% say it's a bad idea to dine in restaurants. 85% say it's a bad idea to reopen schools. 91% say it's a bad idea to attend large sporting events. They understand, unlike the Trump administration, that testing is of the utmost importance before we can open up the country and in a safe way and ensure the virus does not spread. And they're understanding this because they're looking at how other countries have handled this crisis, how these other countries have put an emphasis on testing early on, and how they're now in a much stronger spot than the United States. In fact, the Coronavirus War Room today is putting out a report that is comparing the U.S. response to that of countries like Germany, Iceland, South Korea, Hong Kong. In each case, the big difference is that they acted early and they had a national testing strategy. In Germany, they invested early in widespread testing and they used the time to increase the capacity of their already strong health system. In Hong Kong, they started to prepare for the coronavirus on December 31st, and they used testing, contact tracing, and quarantines to slow the virus spread. Iceland adopted robust testing and contact tracing early on, and they coordinated a national strategy to limit the virus's spread 2 weeks after its first confirmed case. And South Korea, which a lot of people have talked about, they conducted mass testing early on, and notified people who may have come in contact with the virus. And you can compare these responses, these other countries, with Donald Trump, who simply did not take testing seriously early on and has still not learned from his past mistakes, as we can see from his blueprint on Monday that is too little and too late. It's time for the administration and Donald Trump to end the impulsive, erratic, and chaotic decision-making that got us into this mess, and to stop trying to spin what is clearly a failed response into what they call today a, quote, great success story, unquote, because nobody is buying it when you just look at the data. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Zach. We'll go to questions in a minute. I was Leslie Dock again, just to make one or two quick additional points. In the next week, Congress is about to begin work in earnest on the next COVID response bill. At Protect Our Care, we believe, as I know, I think our speakers do as well today, that our next bill needs to protect our health, our people, and our economy. Testing has to be a critical focus of that legislation, as Senator Murray so clearly outlined. So must protective equipment for our healthcare and essential workers in places like nursing homes, supermarkets, meatpacking plants, and warehouses. And we need to have the contract tracing capability to mitigate further spread, because the administration is not doing its job in any of these areas. Congress must. We also believe that the next COVID bill should guarantee affordable health care for the millions of Americans who have lost their insurance because of the crisis or who are already uninsured. And that means that Congress should move to establish a special enrollment period under the Affordable Care Act exchanges so that people who've lost their insurance or are uninsured can buy insurance on the exchanges. And to be sure that every American who's lost their job knows that there is already special enrollment period for that change in circumstances. We should be helping parents keep their kids on their policies past the age of 26 in this tight labor market. And just this week, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, the hospital trade associations, major medical trade associations, the trade association representing America's health insurance companies all called for a SEP for the uninsured and efforts to increase financial assistance for those buying their coverage through the ACA exchanges and those trying to afford employer insurance. Finally, we also believe that the next Corona legislation must include protections for the millions of Americans with coronavirus who will now have a pre-existing condition, so that they and the 135 million Americans who already have a pre-existing condition cannot at some point be possibly denied health care or charged more by their insurance company. And that means stopping junk plans and trying to stop this lawsuit that President Trump is pursuing in the courts to overturn the entire Affordable Care Act. So once again, I want to thank our speakers, and Whitney, turn it over to you so we can answer some questions.
Great. At this time, if you have questions for any of our speakers, please press *3 on your phone to enter our Q&A queue. Again, that's *3 if you have a question. All right. Our first question is going to come from Jen Hemmingson at the Seattle Times.
Hi,
Jen, you are live.
This is a question for – hi, thank you. Senator Marie, can you tell us what happens if the administration does not meet the deadline or requirements for your testing plan?
Well, the requirements and the plan are in the COVID bill that we just passed and the president signed into law. It is a law that they need to follow. As we know with this administration, you have to follow up every single day to make sure they're following the law. That is what we're going to do, oversight, continual pressure. And if they don't follow it, we have another chance in the next, or we will take the next opportunity in the next bill to make it even stronger. But, you know, this shouldn't be us having to yell and scream at them. This is a national public crisis. They should be doing the right thing to protect American citizens. They should step up and do this.
All right. Our next question is going to come from Tim Dickinson at Rolling Stone magazine. Tim, you are live.
Hi, thank you. The administration has obviously gotten the private labs and the hospital labs in the game, although that was very late. What is right now the key impediment to mass testing? It doesn't seem like there's a conceptual problem that testing is needed. What are the choke points? What are the barriers that's preventing mass testing going on the scale we need it?
Senator, do you want to answer
for
that?
Well, I'm not a doctor or scientist, but I am an observant person who can see that no one is putting together a plan to tell everyone how this will come together. On a recent call with the vice president, he couldn't even tell me how many tests they project they need. If you don't have a goal, how do you produce it? Everybody's sitting around waiting for that to happen. But I will. I think that Dr. Foreman, if he's still on the line, may be able to tell you what some of the gaps are, but this is exactly why we need the federal government, national level, president and his administration to step up and tell us how this is going to be put together.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree more with the senator. And we have, in some areas, it's lack of reagents. In some areas, it's lack of swabs, testing kits. In some areas, it's the actual equipment to do the testing. In some areas, it's setting up testing centers and having them within the communities. This requires coordination. You can't set up a testing site if you don't have the ability to do the swabs. You can't collect swabs and not have reagents to run the tests and know that you're going to get a result a week or 10 days later, because it's almost useless at that time, except for documentation. So there's so many things that do genuinely require coordination and leadership at the top to help do that. And that is why we're in this problem. We've been here for over 2 months now.
Thank you, Dr. Foreman. I think, Whitney, we have time for one more.
Yep. Our last question is going to come from Carlene Johnson at KOMO News Radio. Carlene, you are live.
Senator Murray, I wanted to actually get your reaction to a plan that's calling to randomly test like 25,000 people in our state for antibodies. And they're, you know, UW's now saying they've got the capacity to do these, you know, serology tests, 10,000 of them a day, and they just need the samples to test. I know there's a group of folks that are pushing for that now. I don't know if you're aware of it, but would like to get your reaction to that.
Well, thank you for that. Serology and antibody testing is a critical part of knowledge that I think we will need moving forward. But again, I am not a doctor or a scientist, but my understanding is that antibody testing today will only tell you whether you've had it, not whether you can get it again or pass it along. So I think that we have to be cognizant of the fact that knowledge really is important, and this may be a very important part moving forward. But the fact is that it is not yet proven that if you have had it, that you won't get it again or be able to spread it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Dr. Foreman, anything to add there?
Yeah, I just want to affirm what the senator said is 100% correct. Antibody testing is very important for policymaking going forward. It does not help tamp down spread of the virus at all. It will only help us make decisions about going forward. So you still have to have PCR, nucleic acid testing, in order to diagnose people now who have the disease, particularly those who are pre or asymptomatic.
Thank you. I want to thank our speakers again. I think the takeaway here is clear. We still don't have adequate testing in this country to keep our people from being sick and from allowing our economy to open as quickly as we would all like. As the senator pointed out, this is work, but it's straightforward work. And the administration needs to get at it and get on it and stop trying to shift the blame or make excuses. There's just far too much at stake. So again, thank our speakers, and I hope everyone and their family stays safe and has a good rest of the day.
Thank you.